What's up, guys? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games cast. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye.
It's me. Junior. How's it going, Tim?
It's going real well.
That's awesome.
Real
well.
We got the former informer, Imran Khan.
Hi.
And rounding out the group today with his first Kinda Funny Game cast appearance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Snowbike Mike himself, Mr. Yeah. Xbox. Yeah. Got to bring the hype if we're doing the first major Xbox exclusive of the year.
It's a big deal, and I'm happy you guys brought me out here, so shout out to the Gamescast crew. But of course, I got to bring the hype for some Xbox love right now.
How you been doing?
Oh, so well. Playing on Xbox every single day, and super excited about this release.
And sometime this year, you and Gary Witt are going to do the pilot for an Xbox podcast.
You know, Gary's excited. I'm excited. We want to bring some green into this studio, but we're waiting on the word. We want that green light.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you guys have a name for that yet?
What's up?
Do you guys have a name for
that
show yet?
We have 10 names selected. I'm still taking names if you want to send me some, but I have 10 hot names that Tim and Greg have to approve.
Can I throw a suggestion in?
Heck yeah.
You had me at Halo.
Holy
shit.
Whoa.
You're on fire today.
That was good. That was damn good. You know what else is damn good? Ori and the Will of the Wisp. We'll be talking about that all episode today because this is the Kinda Funny Games cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can watch the show live if you're a Patreon supporter on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, and we appreciate you very much. Just like our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, James Hastings, Evan Ballard, Steven Insler, Sancho West Gaming, Duval King, Jabub, Cody Banks, Agent Cody Banks himself, Trent Berry, Max Blair, Julian, the gluten-free gamer. I love it. I love the brand. Tom Bach, my man. Nano Support, Michael Bradley, and Joseph O. Youssef. You can watch the show on youtube.com/kindafunnygames later if you do not want to support us financially, and that's totally fine, too. We like to give you options. RoosterD.com, another one of those options to watch it. Or you can search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Cast. Please leave some nice reviews. That shit really helps us. Pushes things, algorithms, I don't know, all this stuff. Only good stuff, though. I don't want bad stuff. None of that bad stuff. Today, like I said, we are reviewing Ori and the Will of the Wisps. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about it in more of a general sense, what we thought about the whole game. And then later, we're going to do spoiler stuff. But we'll make it very clear when we're getting to spoilers. Not that there's much to spoil. You know what I mean?
There's a story to that game.
There is a story. You can watch the trailers, and you're kind of like, I get this. Yeah. But there are moments that I do think hit that I don't want to take away from.
Yeah.
So we will let you know very clearly when we're getting into that spoiler section. But without further ado, I want to go around the table and see how far are we in Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Snowbike Mike.
Snowbike Mike made it 6 hours without wanting to whip my Xbox controller through a window, but I had a great 6 hours with it. So feeling pretty good about that, and still more to go for me.
Yeah, so if I understand correctly based on where you're at, I'd say you're about 50%.
Yeah, I would say about 50%, about halfway through Act 2, we'll call it. There's a couple of acts that you can really pick up on. And I was talking to Blessing earlier. There's a little bit more for me to see and do.
Imran.
I beat the game, and I finished all the town stuff. And I think the only thing left for me is just like life upgrades and energy cells.
Yeah, awesome. Bless.
I beat the game. I want to say I'm at 70% overall, because when you open the game, it'll show you the percentage of the way through you are. And so I think about 70%. I didn't really do much of the town stuff. Well, actually, I probably did like a quarter of the town stuff, I'd say, because that's when you're collecting the ores and you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've done probably a quarter of the town stuff. And I've explored quite a bit. But yeah, I've beaten the core game.
Yeah. I beat it maybe 30 minutes ago.
Oh, nice.
So it's fresh and hot in my mind.
Yeah.
I definitely want to go back to it. I can't stop thinking about it. I want to 100% it. Like, this is one of those games that I'm just like, oh, man. And I feel like it's attainable. Like, I feel
100%,
like this game kind of pushes you to do a lot of the side quests kind of organically. And I really appreciate that for this type of game.
Mm.
And the town stuff, I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I actually give a shit about these little critters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want to talk about that, I mean, when we get into it, because I didn't really understand much of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're building structures, right? With like the ore?
Yeah.
I didn't really get it.
You're getting the stuff to pay the guy to build the houses for the little creatures.
Yeah. Is it just for the little creatures? Like, is there no really like...
They're trying to build their home because their home got all
fucked up. Do I get anything?
Yeah, they're like, basically when you do stuff, like, you can go into their houses, you can take stuff from them, which is like...
That's like the yellow currency, right? Is that it?
And also, like, building houses tends to expand the town out a bit, so you can get around places more easily, and there's like upgrades hidden around the town.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say I don't really care about these kids.
Why am I building houses
out there? Yeah.
Going back before we get into this one, what was your guys' history with Ori and the Blind Forest, the first game? Mike.
I had been playing the Blind Forest all month long on Project X Cloud and on my Xbox, so I've been very familiar with it, and it felt like just jumping into the same game with some extra add-ons in the second one, which was great for me.
I played a decent bit of Ori 1. I never finished it. I think I maybe got two or three dungeons in, and I liked it enough. Like, I thought the game was very nice looking, but like one, it was about the time my eyes started going bad, so a game that zoomed out was very difficult to play. But also, the game was just really, really hard for me.
Yeah.
So I never like really got that far into it, and when Will of the Wisps was shown, I was like, okay, that one looks like something I would be really into, so I decided to wait. Granted, that was like 3 years ago, so waiting took a long time, but I like this game better than the old one.
Yeah. Bless.
I've not played Ori and the Blind Forest. I own it, but it was one of those things where, if first of all, it came out before I had an Xbox, and then once I did get an Xbox, it actually came with my Xbox, and it's one of those things where I'd see the icon for the game all the time whenever I turn on my system, and I'd be like, one day, I really want to play this game one day, because it looked beautiful, I knew it was Metroidvania, and I heard it was difficult, and so I was like, okay, maybe I'll get to this one day, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
And from what I saw and understood of Ori, it didn't seem like I would need to play this game for sure to get into Will of the Wisps, and so I was like, I'll just start Will of the Wisps.
They do a semi-decent job in this one of like kind of like getting you up to speed as much as you need to know for the dramatic moments to hit right.
But there are also like a lot of direct callbacks.
Yeah,
the first game.
Totally. And I feel like, but it's the type of thing that just, it adds to the experience. Yeah. It doesn't take away if you haven't played it. And also, it's the type of thing, if you want, you could just watch like a 5-minute YouTube video and get caught up
which
on all
the... what I did.
There you go.
I wish I did, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like certain parts...
I mean, I feel like even now, if you were to watch it, you'd be like, oh, okay, I get
it. I could have extracted that information from what I played in Will of the Wisps. But even still, I was like, there's certain story moments where I was like, I feel like I should... I feel like if I played the first one, these would have hit harder, even though like there's some story moments that still hit hard regardless. Yeah. So, yeah.
I beat Blind Forest a couple years ago. Not right when it came out. Like, I played it a lot then, but I took a break, and then I went back and restarted it, and I ended up beating it. And I loved it, but I definitely think it had a lot of issues, and the difficulty to me was one of them, where it was hard and not fun hard. It was just like, oh, like, this is... I'm getting, like... crab hands right now, mm-hmm. like, you know, like trying to like maneuver the way that they're trying to make me do it. And the combat just didn't ever feel good in that game. And this game totally fixes all those problems. Like, I feel like this game is never difficult. It can be frustrating at times, but that's always, it's usually an exploration thing, not a combat or maneuvering.
Really?
Thing.
Did you not have any bosses where you're like, this is a bitch?
None of the bosses were like that for me. But
really?
Some of the normal enemies were like, this is just not fun.
Yeah, some of the normal enemies, I was like, man, these guys suck to have to fight. And I don't know if it was like a specking thing where maybe I should have put more points into my damage, because there are ways in which you can mess around with.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can do 15% more damage, but I'll take 15% more damage from enemies. You have those kinds of things that you can mess around with. But there are certain enemies where I was like, man, these guys have a lot of health. For like enemies that aren't that big or like don't communicate as like super powerful or anything.
I don't think the combat in this game is perfect. I think it's actually far from it, but I think compared to the first game, it is like night and day. It is so much
better. The first game's more difficult?
The first game's more difficult, and also the combat just you don't really have as many options.
Yeah, it's not very heavy in the combat. You just have a couple of options, nothing like you're experiencing in this game.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But in terms of maneuverability, I feel like this game nails it. Like, I always feel in control. It's floatier than I like my platformers, but I feel like that's just the type of game that this is, because
it's exploration.
90% of the time, right?
Yeah. By the end of the game, I was basically parkouring around.
It's fun. It's fun to move. It reminds me a lot of Spider-Man, there was many times where you get fast travel pretty early on, and like it's actually super helpful. And a pro tip to people that might be obvious, you can warp from anywhere.
Yes. I figured that out.
You don't
very
need
late
to
game.
Go to the save points to warp.
Because they don't tell you that, and then you just assume, like, you look at you open the map and you see the points, like the fast travel points, and you're like, oh, I need to get there to fast travel to the different thing. And it was like past halfway through the game where I saw the text at the very bottom that was like, oh yeah, just warp. And I was like, wait, really? And I did it. I was like, could have saved me like a
so we
hour
all had that same
time.
Issue.
Oh, yeah. I figured out pretty easily, because like, I was able to warp from save points, but between save points before I went to the village. Then when the first village upgrade was also save points, like, this has to be different somehow. Like, they can't just have given me the same thing again. So it was like, okay, then it must be that I can just do it from anywhere.
Yeah. Interesting. Very, very
I enjoyed the journey. I liked running around. That was half the fun, you know what I mean? I like warping and for certain areas, I need to do that. But, you know, I just enjoyed running around, seeing the different areas. Well, always a treat for me.
Yeah.
And that's my thing, what I was comparing it to Spider-Man, where it's like we have fast travel and we can just warp from one place to another pretty easily. There's enough warp zones that, like, make it, like, it doesn't feel like you're ever too far from
like,
your destination.
Like, the world's big, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
You look at the map, it's like, oh, this is so far away, but it's like, actually, it's like a minute of running.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
But in Spider-Man, where it's like, you're like, oh, you know what? I could just take the subway, but I'd rather just swing through the city because, A, it's fun, and B, like, there's enough things going on to, like, pull you and distract you from the main quest. I feel like this is a 2D version of that, where it's like, it's fun to maneuver through the map, and there's constantly something, like, it's a Metroidvania, so it's like, yeah, there's the secrets, and yeah, there's the obvious, like, oh, well, there's this collectible up there that I want to get, but also just, like, talking to random people. Something I was really surprised in this game was how much it felt like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're definitely direct, like, mechanical references where you could tell that they played Breath of the Wild and they were like, we could do that, or we could take that and put that in our game.
So I was actually like, Breath of the Wild wasn't the comparison in my mind, and I know mathematically this makes no sense because they would have not played this game by the time they started designing Ori, but it reminds me so fucking much of Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, there are so many direct examples of this exact same thing was in Hollow Knight, and maybe they just took both ideas in the same place. But, like, the basement or the town building, some of the dungeon design, even, like, the weird bug areas, it just all seemed very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, I've played a demo of this game before they, like, I ever played Hollow Knight, so I'm sure that they did not. But I bet they were, like, looking at the game like, this is really similar.
Yeah.
Interesting. I actually loved seeing all of the different creatures, all of the friends and family members you can make, especially coming hot off of the Blind Forest, the first one. It felt very lonely in that game. You didn't really have many friends, family members around. It was just you isolated. And so to see the different characters, what they were doing, it felt like Fast and the Furious to me. I was like, this is my family.
Hell
and this
is
who I want to be with. And right off the jump with the story, too, it's like, this is where I want to be. And I love that the world feels more lived in with all those creatures.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I feel like I really, really, really enjoyed this game. And it's like a lot of the reviews are giving it like nines. I feel like it's just shy of a nine. Like, it's
kind of where I'm at. I think this game is, I think it's an incredible game, but at no point did it feel like a very special experience to me. And I know that's like a weird, it's like this weird, I don't know, like dynamic thing of, this game is super, it's one of the most beautiful 2D platformers I've ever played, or 2D games I've played, right? It's a very competent Metroidvania, and by the time you are approaching like the later half of the game, or like the by the time you're towards the end of the game, you have so many different abilities, and the ways in which those abilities kind of build on top of each other, and the ways in which they've built the world to take advantage of all the different mechanics that you have at your disposal. I think that stuff is done very expertly well, along with some of the moments that occur in the game. Like, there are certain story moments where I was like, dang, like, that's really, like, that's real, or that's cool, or like, I was wowed probably a couple times while playing this game. That said, like, Andy came up to me today and was like, yeah, man, I'm thinking about playing Ori and the Will of the Wisps, but like, there are a few games that are coming out. And I'm like, dude, if there's a game that you're really looking forward to this month, then maybe just come back to Ori and the Will of the Wisps later. Because there was no point while playing this game where I was like, you know,
oh, shit, get hyped. Yeah, this is fucking video games.
Or there was no point where I was like, this is different. Like, this is something I've not seen before. Like, it's probably one of the best 2D Metroidvanias of the generation. That said, there have been so many Metroidvanias this generation that makes me like I feel like I've played this before to some extent. Granted, this game does do a few new things mechanically and structurally in the ways that it designs this world and the ways that it does emulate stuff like Breath of the Wild. And I heard you reference Pixar and I think earlier Games Daily, right? It has those elements to it that does make it stand out a bit. But at no point was I like, oh, shoot. Like, this is new. Like, this is fresh.
It reminds me actually a lot of Onward, the new Pixar movie, where in the beginning, I didn't like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the end, it absolutely won me over. And I was just like, fuck, this thing has heart. And it backs it up with, like, real, genuine, like, content. Like, real exciting things that are happening in characters and all that stuff. And Onward, at the end of the day, is not my favorite Pixar movie. It's far from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still magic. It's still great. And I feel the same about this game, where it's like, yeah, it's not going to be on one of my favorite games of all time lists, but I just think that it's really,
like, everything
good.
Everything it does super well. I do have, like, a few issues with it being, I feel like, it being such a Metroidvania, it also carries some of the issues of Metroidvanias, where I feel like the ways in which it points you to certain directions can be done a bit better. I think I was talking to you a few days ago, and you were saying that, like, oh yeah, I think this game might be too beautiful for its own good.
Yeah.
Where, like, there are certain places where I got stuck, and I had to, like, hit up Imran or hit up you and be like, hey, like, have you guys beat this area? Like, how in the world? I've been stuck in this area for an hour. And there was one screenshot that Imran sent me of, like, oh, yeah, there's a specific thing that I needed to hit in order to activate this door. And I saw the screenshot. I was like, there's no way I would have figured that out. Because everything just blends in with the world. Yeah. Because the world's so beautiful, and everything's so colorful, and everything shines. But that then makes it harder to make certain specific points in the world shine so that you know that they're interactable.
Absolutely, man. And I will say that I have a feeling that this is going to be ironed out in the next couple weeks. But as this game stands now and the version of the game I played, this was buggier than Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, performance was real bad.
It was rough.
It was very, very bad. I had issues from characters just disappearing and not being there, me freezing in a place where I had to, like, restart the game, chugging in parts that I'm just like, bro, I am in a fight right now. You need to stop this. And the biggest problem for me is you need to pull your map up constantly.
A lot.
Yes.
I would say every, like, 15 seconds max, you're pulling up that map to try to figure out where you're going.
Especially when you're in exploration mode, you're like, say I need to get to somewhere across the map. There are so many different branching paths that every time you would come through, like, a crossroad, you pull up your map and you're like, okay, which way do I go? This way. Every time you pull up the map, though, it has the same issue that Control had, where you pull up your map and it stutters. Like, the map stutters to open up, to, like,
so pretty
up.
Much what happens is the map starts coming up and it's semi-transparent and you see the world behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world, like, starts to go away, but it's not clean. And it's really, it kind of just feels like, jut, jut.
Boom.
Ruh.
Yeah.
And then it just gets in there. And I'm like, when you're doing that every 15 seconds, it's like, oh, man.
And then, like, I don't know if you guys had this, but when I would unpause, it would then take, like, a second and then stutter and then get back. Because that was, for me, that was every single time I unpaused the map.
It's especially annoying when, like, I just want to do a thing with the badge real quick. I just need to change this badge out or find out what this is.
Yep.
But those share the same menu.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, it was on map last, so it goes to map by default. It's like, I need to put, just let me press this button and go there. And
there's a couple UI things that I feel like they definitely could have improved on. Like, I feel like it would have been really helpful to have a mini map of some sort on the main gameplay screen.
Yeah.
And I get they didn't want to do that because they, like, it's
too beautiful.
It's too beautiful.
Yeah, compromise aesthetic quality.
But it's one of those things where it's fashion over function. You know what I mean? It's like, I really would have appreciated having that as an option. Halfway through my playthrough, they put out the patch, which was not fun for me because in the middle of a boss fight, it actually forced me out,
do that?
And it forced the update. And I was like, well, that sucks. And I couldn't find any YouTube videos of this, but I only looked on my phone for a second, but I'm sure they're out there. But the patch drastically changed the look of the game. Like, it looks totally different than like, the coloring is different.
Strange.
And it's just like, and it looks beautiful before, it looks beautiful now. It just looks different. So it's like, can you try to find an example of what I'm talking about? Like, Ori Will the Wisp, pre-patch, like, before and after with the patch, because I've never experienced anything like it. it was a weird thing.
I wish I had time to play after the patch I got yesterday, because there was a like, we were texting back and forth last night because you were trying to get past a certain part, and I tried to open my game so that I could check out, like, okay, what's he talking about, where is he, let me see if I can figure out, and my game updated, and so I couldn't get into it. But then, like, I didn't play much after, because I'd already beaten the game by the time I got the patch. And so I don't know if, like, some of the issues I had were fixed. There was one.
A lot of them are fixed.
Are they fixed?
Yeah. Okay. But a lot of them still exist.
Because there was one issue I had where I got to the end of a chase sequence that took me maybe 10 tries because I kept dying and dying over and over again. It's one of those sequences where you have to get it pixel perfect. Like, you have to get it right. And I finally got it right, got to the very end of it, and then my game froze. And I was like, oh, okay, it's done this from time to time, it'll recover. And then, no, like, for 30 seconds, I just sat there, and my game was just frozen. And I was like, come on, man. Like, this game looks so good. It's like when you're playing it, it's so polished. But, it just has those technical issues that kind of didn't ruin the experience for me, because, like, the game is still, like, very good.
Yeah.
But it did take away from the experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it came in real hot.
Yeah, definitely. And what's weird, too, for me is this is a game that has such brilliant colors, right? Like, it's like, such a beautiful, like, just, it looks like a rave. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everything's always glowing. Everything's glowing. The HDR is not great. And it's actually probably some of the worst HDR I've seen on a game, especially on the Xbox One X. And I'm like, this is prime time for this. Like, I don't understand. Everything looks blown out. And that's another thing that like they totally could fix. But it's a weird thing where it still looks so good. But it's just like, I know what it could look like. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when I boot up Horizon, right? Or even Spider-Man, I'm like seeing the way that like the sun reflects itself. I'm like, why doesn't Ori have this? Like, it's kind of bizarre. You got this real quick? Let's see.
So this is the pre-patch version. Or no, this is 1.0 retail.
So this is
that's how it looks.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's different.
Huh.
That's right?
Totally. Reasonably different.
Dramatically different.
Huh. Okay, this is the patch. Okay.
But even, wow. Look what I'm talking about with the HDR. You can see it on the right side, like, with the light coming through the tree. Mm-hmm. It just looks blown out.
Maybe it's my TV, because I don't know if I have an HDR TV. I just got this new TV. And I have no idea what it is. It's like 1080p, though. It's not 4K. But maybe it's my TV that didn't, maybe that's the reason I didn't see the difference. But, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah,
it definitely looks like a little
washed. Go back for a second. Pause it.
It looks a little washed out in the original, like, the virtual replay.
Right here. Yeah.
Look at the difference of detail in the bush. Right?
Yeah.
It's like a Kennedy assassination thing, like right over here.
Yeah. That's crazy. I would not have realized that.
And again, beautiful on the left. But then you have the right one, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird thing that they just forced.
How's that a patch?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I'm going to point out, like, see how close the camera is to Ori there? I wish the entire game was played that way.
Mm.
Like, because there are times where it just zooms out so far, and Ori is like
a tiny little
sprite, a nondescript white sprite that is so difficult to see. Not only him, but like the various things coming at him at any given second.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of times I die, bro. Just like,
dude, the last boss fight, I lost Ori so much because I was just like, there's so much happening on screen. I have no idea where Ori is at.
I had issues with challenge rooms where there would be so much happening, I couldn't find myself. Even when I would dash one way, it would just get lost in the confusion. And like you said, so beautiful. There's so much color popping out at me. I'm like, where's the little white speck? I have no idea where I'm at.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Barrett, can you pull up the picture that I sent you? And then I want to pull up the video as well. So this is an example of just weird tech shit. There's supposed to be a giant bear there.
No way.
That's the face of a bear. Yeah. And Ori's supposed to be on it. And like things would just not be there.
He just didn't spawn
like, he's I'm not jumping there. He's holding on to the wall.
That's so weird you guys talk about these issues you had. I had very minimal issues, and it was a lot of just the menu hitching. Yeah. I went through two patches during my time with it since we had it, and it ran very smooth for me. I didn't have any enemies or objects like this pop in and out. It was just the menu hitching for me. Everything ran really smooth.
We all played on Xbox One X, by the way.
For Xbox One X, Now, here's the biggest issue, as I want to show this video real quick. This is during one of the chase scenes. Sorry, it was hard for me to play and film. But, like, this is a video right now of me playing.
Yeah. And the video's not hitching. This is the game.
This is the game. I'm just, like, trying. And this was, like, not the first phase of this boss. So I didn't want to just restart or whatever. Wow. Like, this is pretty deep into it. And I was just like, how am I supposed to do this? And I had to just keep pushing
through. And this is actually the same boss where my game froze forever.
Yeah, you can turn it off now.
And so I don't know if this boss specifically that has issues, but... That stuff is a bummer. Granted, that stuff will probably be fixed through patches very soon.
Totally. And all of the issues that I'm having, all of them can be fixed. It's just a bummer that I played through a version that had these issues because I feel like it really did take this game, for me, from being something special to being something that's, like, really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That said, overall, like, the game is super fun. Barry, were you going
to
say something?
I was just going to say props to Tim for filming the worst filmed video ever.
Dude, it's so hard. I put it on my dick. All right? The phone's just like up, and I'm just like trying to... Because it's also hard.
Can you not do gameplay capture?
Oh,
the
I don't know how to do all that shit. Yeah.
Plus, it's like pre-embargo. I'm sure there was probably a restriction.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. But... something else I want to give a shout out to is the amount of different like biomes that this game has.
Oh, yes.
I love how varied it is because when you're first playing, it's kind of just like, okay, cool, this is very similar to the first game. A lot of swamps, a lot of blue colors and stuff. But then as the world starts expanding and like it definitely has like a Breath of the Wild moment, and you start to realize like what this game actually is, there's genuine like surprise that I had when like I would go into different areas where like there's like a water area and it's like, okay, cool, we've seen water in video games a million times. There was something just about the look of like Ori's look with that type of environment where I was like, this is fucking gorgeous. Like I want to live here forever. Yeah. You know, and it reminded me of a Pixar movie, like that world specifically. But then you go down like underground.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like you're talking about like the darker buggy area. That's probably very Hollow Knight. Yeah, the Hollow Knight era.
Fear, man. Yes. Like that whole, there was probably an hour of this game that I was legit more scared than playing Resident Evil 2 last year.
Really?
Like it was just something about it, man. Like the way, like the darkness is just consuming you. And like just the way that it's all laid out and these fucking spiders. I was also listening to Dolby Atmos, which probably added a lot to it. Like all these fucking little spider sounds like around you. I was just like, fuck this shit.
I mean, that's something that I want to commend them on, because every single area in this game has multiple mechanics that they flesh out just for that area. Mm-hmm. And they all play together so well, right? And I don't want to get into the specifics really, because some of them are, I guess it's all kind of spoilers, but the ways in which it feels mechanically that they've really like gone in depth and they kind of did like the Mario thing or the Nintendo thing of like, hey, okay, we have one mechanic, how do we kind of take this and run with it for a while, all right, now let's add this one new element, okay, how do we take
now
that
combine
and run
the last two elements together,
yeah, and, yeah, and how do these things play together in order to create like this final sequence, like mm-hmm. they really did that super well, and each of the areas I felt like were just long enough, like they were the perfect
total
length. Yes. Each
not too long,
not too short, like I felt like I got my money's worth out of each of the areas. And there's quite a few areas you explore in the game, and you really kind of exhaust in the game, right? Mm-hmm. And the puzzles, I felt like for the most part were clever. You know, before I was complaining that some of them were obtuse, yeah. And I still hold that complaint. That said, like quite a few of the solutions, I was like, oh shoot, like okay, like, that's
oh,
like
good
yeah.
job, guys.
Yeah, like that stuff I thought was really well done. Like game design wise, for the most part, I think this game was like. It's like a strong 9 out of 10. Like, you know, they did it. Like, they did a great job.
My favorite thing about the puzzles is, like, the second half of the game is non-linear. You can go whatever area you want to go to. You can break that game wide open.
Oh, yeah.
With
yeah.
some of that stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, there's one skill you get that if you just take that into every other area, you're like, well, I don't need to worry about ever having enough height.
Totally.
For the rest of the game.
Yeah. It's really crazy, and this goes back to what we were talking about signposting a bit, where the game opens up, and it gives you a really clear directive of essentially, without spoiling things, it's like, there's three places you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there's like five places you can go.
Yeah.
And me and Mike both had an issue where we chose the wrong path to go down, and I ended up at the end game stuff.
Yes, I did.
It's the equivalent of ending up in Hyrule Castle when you're on the way to one of the divine beasts. You're like,
they mentioned this area, so I assume I need to go here.
Yeah,
and then I get there. It's
exactly.
Like, you need all these things to be coincide. I'm like, oh, this wasn't there.
Yeah, and so I went through the whole thing, and I'm like, this shit is hard, and I racked up hella money.
Yeah. And like, that's the difference, though. Out. Like, the difference between this and like Breath of the Wild, when they say like, hey, go wherever you want, is. You know Hyrule Castle is like the final place, right? Mm-hmm. Like they point to Hyrule Castle and be like, that's where you're gonna end up. It's being surrounded by ghosts. Like you know that place is bad. Where in this game it's like
hey man, you can go to the water place, you can go underground, you can go to the snow, or you can go to the desert. And it's like, oh, if I go to the desert, that's the end? What?
Yeah, like go northeast or west. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll go west. And you end up in west. And if you go to the wrong west, you're like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
That said, if you did go there first, you get a skill that lets you like find cool stuff in the other areas.
Yeah. And that was something that was constantly wowing me, is that when you learn these skills, the map that's the Metroidvania, like, magic, right? It's like having an ability that makes you want to go back to old areas to, like, like find things. And it what I really liked about it was rare that it was one of those moments that I'm like, oh, there's a thing up there. I can't get there yet, but I will eventually. I'll come back. It was always a... Oh, now I have this. Now I know what that type of ground looks like. Mm-hmm. I know what I can do with that, and it felt like a fresh thing as opposed to a let's go back thing.
Yeah, the big one for me was like avoiding the fast travel, getting all of those skills, and then going back finding those locations and stuff.
Yeah,
and then also reading the map correctly is a big one here, right? Like you're going to see the different ways to go, the different splinters off, and you got to read it correctly, or else you're going to be stuck in the desert way too early and banging your head against the
wall. I have such a love hate. Mostly hate, honestly, relationship with the map. Because I feel like for a Metroidvania where you have so many different paths you can go down, there are so many times where I was looking at the map or there's so many times where while exploring, trying to figure out what's the next thing to do, I would keep arriving at the same blockade or the same thing that I couldn't pass. And it'd be one of those things where it's like, man, I wish there was some way where either I could populate the map myself and be like, okay, this is a blockade. I have an X icon that I can place here, so yeah. I know not to come back down this direction. Or if it auto-populated and was like, because I think it was Jedi Fallen Order that may have done this, where if you go to a place where you don't have the ability that works there, it'll just mark it red,
yes,
and you'll know not to return there, mm-hmm. and not waste your time, because I wasted so much time going to the wrong ways or re-arriving at certain blockades because the map didn't really help you at all, because the map just shows that stuff as like paths that you haven't like further progressed through.
I will say they do a good job of showing you what a breakable floor or where that is. Mm-hmm. But also, I had no idea how to break floors, and I was like, I assume it's a skill at some point.
Dude,
it's not.
The floor breaking is a oversight for sure, because it's like you do feel like you're going to get an ability at some point, mm-hmm. and then it's like I feel like the game does such a good job of teaching you how to deal with the different obstacles, and like it when it does the Nintendo thing of like, here's the challenge, now we're going to up the challenge or whatever, like iterate and all
the
that.
The three act play,
basically. Exactly, yeah. And it's like it does that so well. The breakable floors is the one time that it just totally drops the ball. Like you never really learn how to deal with them because there's no real consistency. It's like, okay, cool. Usually it's a projectile. Normally you have to like reflect the projectile somehow. But it's like there's a ton of times I'm like, there's no projectiles here.
Yeah, it's like, do I break this differently? And it's such a weird thing because that's exactly what I'm talking about. Mark it as a breakable floor. Cool. Why do you do that for breakable floors and not do that for doors that need levers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, why'd you make that choice? Why didn't you guys go like all the way with that? And really, like, it was probably for sure a playtesting thing. Playtesters just didn't realize that floors were breakable, and that's why they had to mark it. Mm. But it felt kind of inconsistent. I wish they kind of went further with it and were like, hey, yeah, here's a door that you can't open with without a lever. Here's a place that you're gonna have to have like an ability to jump high enough to get to, so you can stop trying. Like, I wish they had a little bit more of that stuff, because at a certain point, like I love games that really make you explore and really make you like think. I love that. I hate games that make me waste my time.
Yeah, and oh man, did I waste my time in this game. Imran, I don't know how you beat this game without anyone helping you. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Bless.
No, yeah.
There was probably three times each that we were just banging our head against the wall.
That's how good of a gamer he is, okay?
No, I get it, man. Like, that's like some real freaking shit.
I mean, a lot of it was like, So Rebecca Valentine was also playing the same game, not the game at the same time I was.
Mm.
We played the games entirely differently. Mm. That she was going through and just like, oh, I'm just going to have, like, I'm sure I will get things that will show me how to do all this stuff later. Meanwhile, I would go through every nook and cranny, and just like, if I couldn't figure out a way through a puzzle, I would find a way to break it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just find my way to get that thing regardless of what skills I have now, unless I absolutely had to give up. So I put like 20 hours in that game. She put like 10.
Oh, you put 20 hours in?
Yes.
Holy crap.
And that was by the in-game timer, which is probably not accurate because I don't think it is, honestly. Yeah. But by the time I started getting to the puzzles that were confusing, it made it easier because I was like, well, I know how every mechanic of this game works.
Yeah.
I can break it open if I need to. So I think there's like two or three puzzles that really, really stumped me. Like, one was in that snowy area where it's like, oh, I just need to do this twice. And I just thought it was insane.
It's been so funny talking to you guys as we've been playing to figure out like where we're stuck or like how to get past a certain thing. Because I was stuck in the area that Imran's talking about here, but like I didn't get stuck on the specific puzzle he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
where I got there and I was like, oh, I know exactly what I got to do. But it was like figuring out how to get that first piece of the puzzle, or like the first like
first
mechanic.
Thing in motion.
Yeah, right. The first thing in motion. That's the thing that like sparks it. And so, yeah, like it's weird how I feel like different parts of this game can just stump you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just stop you.
My game clock was like 13 hours. What about
mine? Was like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds about right if you're just going through it.
If you're just doing the main.
Because I did some of the side quests and some of the stuff, but like, yeah. Because there was definitely like three different times where I hit up Bless with like a screenshot. I'm like, what the fuck do I do? Like, there's a part I was in the Luma, the ocean, mm-hmm. the water area. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed an ability. It was clear that I wasn't equipped. Like, there's the thing, you're underwater and you gotta move fast. And I'm like, I'm not moving fast enough. So, like, there needs to be something here. And I just could not fucking find, like, that ability. I'm like, I know it's here somewhere. And I was like, I guess it's not, because I looked everywhere. And then I was like, well, maybe that ability somewhere else? That doesn't make sense. So I ended up going all throughout the entire map trying to find this water ability. And lo and behold, it's in the fucking water place.
Yeah.
And Bless eventually like helped me figure it out. But it was just like when he told me, he's like, oh, that's what you need to do. I was like, oh, no shit. Like, that's so fucking
I will say
obvious.
There's one of those that really annoyed me was that to get through Luma Pools, you do not need the ability to breathe underwater. It just helps a lot. for some reason, that ability is from the monkey that teaches you how to, like...
You can breathe underwater.
There's, there's an ability. You were telling me that there's a... Because there's a boss fight where part of it's underwater, and you were just like, oh, you know, fuck. You can just breathe underwater, and you're totally good.
I'm just like, they should put that in the pools area somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, where'd you get that?
From the guy who teaches you techniques.
Yeah. See, it's interesting, like Emron said, you can, like, break some of these, right? Like, I had issues in the desert where if I knew what I learned in the Luma pools, I could have applied that to the desert. But there I was, just stubborn as can be, and I still broke that puzzle, got through it without even needing it. And I was telling Blessing, like, I did this hundreds of times trying to get this thing.
If
I learned that, it would never have taken me 3 hours to get that. And
I got to the part of the game where it's like, okay, you need all the things that you collected in order to get through this door. And I finally got there because I had done all the things. And I remember getting there and being like, how in the world did Tim get here? Because, like, there's certain abilities that I couldn't imagine. Like, I don't know how you got all the way here without having abilities.
It was a struggle, man. Getting through that desert area. But I was like, you just said it. It was like, you had fun doing it. Like, that's what I enjoy about this game is even when it's, like, really hard, I don't think this game's ever that difficult.
Yes.
Like, it's like, it's challenging. And you're going through it and you're like, there's some enemies where I'm like, all right, you have way too much HP. Like, this is just annoying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're even in the difficult part when I mean, I didn't realize it was the end game thing until I got to the door and it was like, hey, bro, you got a lot of shit to do. But like going through it all, I was just like, this is challenging, but this is really fucking good. And I was like, I could probably stop and go somewhere else and like just get more abilities. But I was like, nah, I want to do this. I want to break this.
Until there's a hard stop where the game says, no, you can't do this. I want to keep going to see this. Because that's what happened in the desert, basically. It's like, I could get through it. But it's that one door that says, no, you need all your shit before you come in here.
There was a boss fight that killed me. And maybe it was because like I didn't have the ability to breathe underwater. But that boss fight had me for like maybe an hour and a half. Because there's like a certain phase where you kind of lose the ability to heal yourself because of circumstances. Yes. And I legit, like, it was one of those cases where the first try for that boss, I got them down to almost like all the way down to their health. And I lost and I was like, oh, I'll get this a second try. Cut to like maybe 20 tries later. I was just like, yo, I am about to just quit and just call it a day because this boss is really hard.
The boss fights are interesting. There's a couple of them in the game. They're all epic as fuck.
They're all great. Like, they're animated beautifully.
Yeah. The animations, the music, the look, the arenas, like all of it is just like, whoa, they're really going all out for this. This is fucking awesome. Some of the, like, the actual gameplay of it, it's just kind of like, I'm just mashing. I am just praying and mashing right now that I get through this. But I feel like it is frustrating when it's like I'm on my 15th try with this goddamn spider. But then on the other side, it's just like they do a good job with having phases that are checkpoints.
Yeah, yes. Except for the boss where I got stuck that didn't have those checkpoints.
Yes.
And so like, I
it always starts at the beginning.
It always starts at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. When I got to the phase bosses, that's where I was like, oh, thank God. Because I thought it was going to be the case the whole time.
I feel like it's one of those situations where, unlike Breath of the Wild, where all the divine beasts are equal difficulty, with this one, it really, you do get better and get more abilities that in order of bosses, I feel like they get easier, no matter what direction you go.
No, that's the thing is, I think the first boss might always be the hardest boss for you in this game. I don't know if that was the case for you guys.
Definitely.
But yeah.
Probably. That was the one I died on it once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just enjoyed suffering, you know, coming from Bloodborne and Dark Souls. I love, you know, getting them down to 10% health, dying, then taking 20 more tries, not even getting to halfway. And the beauty of the game, the mechanics of the movement and the attacking now with that added combat feature is so much fun. That's why I wanted to keep coming back to it every single time. And I wouldn't get too frustrated because I'm like, all right, I'll beat this eventually. I'm going to break this game if I need to. And sure enough, once I did, it felt so good. And that's what I really kept coming back to with this one.
Yeah, I was playing this and Neo at the same time. So it was like, this is easier. Like, this is not. I'm used to playing a boss 50 times to beat him.
How do you guys feel about combat in the game overall?
Like I said a second ago, it's very mashy. Like, you're kind of just like boom, 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 trying to get through it. Something I didn't like, and this is a very particular Tim thing, but someone out there is probably going to relate. I don't like when vibrations in the controller don't speak a language. Where I want to know, like, am I getting damaged or am I doing damage? When it's the same type of vibration for both, I'm just like, this doesn't feel right. And in this game, really, there's a ton of times where I'm like, I don't know what's happening. There's an option in the menu that you can turn on that shows damage. Mm-hmm. So it'll like show the numbers of how much damage
what
you're
doing. Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And I turned that on and it helped me.
I should have done that because I had that same issue where I was like, am I getting hurt right now or am I hurting or am I hurting the enemy? And I wouldn't figure out until like I would see my health go down or I'd die and I'd be like, oh shoot. I guess I should have stopped attacking.
Yeah.
But you
yeah,
don't like really have that back and forth.
When you turn the numbers on, it essentially it looks like, you know, just numbers like divisions.
Like, style, like MMO type.
Yeah, exactly. Just popping out. But they're white if you're hurting them. They're red if they're hurting you.
I think my problem with combat was that I didn't. Sometimes you would stagger the enemy with a hit and sometimes you wouldn't. Mm. So like those guys that just rush at you, those little lizard guys, the first time you hit them, they'll back off the first time you hit them. But after that, they won't. Like, so it was always, until I learned that, it's such a confusing thing. It's like, do I go up there and just, like, combo them to death? Or do I, like, hit them once, back off, then go back? Like, do I play it like a Dark Souls, basically?
Yeah.
And there are times the game wants you to, and there's times they want you to go in.
Yeah.
I love the combat for me. I mean, like we talked about, coming off of Blind Forest into this, the combat was such a big upgrade, and being able to choose, like, I had the wisp behind me that would do damage as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the bow.
I should have got that one.
That was really cool of, like, here's six different aspects that you could apply to this, and we haven't even talked about some of that cool stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The combat itself, I was Tim sometimes, where I was stubborn and hard-headed and just smashing X. And then there was moments where I was like, all right, do two X's, maybe bash through him, get up on the high ground, and you can downward smash
like
on the people.
Down
dude, the down attack is great.
I really thought the combat was a great elevation to add on to what they already had on the blueprint of game number one. So I loved the combat. Yeah. And there was moments, of course, where there's too many things in the challenge room, and I'm like, get away from me. Give me some space to breathe. But then, like you said, I'd figure out one enemy of, like, I found out the crab people somehow couldn't go in water, so I'd rush that guy, push him off the bridge. He'd die instantly. I'd move to the next guy, and I loved it. But the wasps, they killed me all
I think the—oh, I hated the wasps. I hated the wasps.
Before we move on real quick, I do want to talk about the abilities and keep going on with the combat. Yes. I want to tell you about our sponsors. This episode of Kinda Funny Gamescast is brought to you by Hims. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35, and once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. Andy Cortez, Nick Scarpino, they both started noticing this stuff, and they're like, I better do something about it, and Hims is what they did. It's the best way to prevent more hair loss, is to do something about it while you still have some. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements, prescription solutions backed by science. 4hims connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. You can just answer a few quick questions. The doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Right now, you guys can get started with your first month free. Go to 4hims.com/kinda. That's 4hims.com/kinda. forhims.com/kinda. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/kinda. Next up, shout out to Movement. MVMT, baby. We've been talking about them forever. We love their sunglasses, love their watches. Cool Greg, real excited about the new watch he just got. He will never be late again. I recently had my eye surgery, and my eyes are real sensitive now to light. So I've never really worn sunglasses recreationally. That's not the right word. I used to wear them when I was on vacation and stuff. You know what I mean?
You didn't need to wear them out of necessity.
Exactly. But now I'm like, but I'm looking good doing it with MVMT. Movement, baby. Here's the deal. You go, tons of options for watches, tons of options for glasses. They have the blue glasses that Andy wears, the ones that help you just like playing games and stuff and having screens not mess your eyes up. Movement watches start at just $95. You're looking at $400 for the same quality from a traditional brand. Wow, what a deal. Movement sold almost 2 million watches in over 160 countries. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/kinda. Movement's launching new styles on their site all the time. Check out their latest at mvmt.com. Go to mvmt.com/kinda. Join the movement. Then, Quip. We've been telling you about this a lot. Why? Because we brush our teeth multiple times a day, and Quip makes it easy for you to stay in a really good habit. Good habits, all you need for a healthy mouth. Quip helps you do that with a 2-minute timer, 30 seconds each quadrant. You get the nice vibration. You know it's time to move on. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, want you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you are good. You're a good person that does good things. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. They send it right to your door. They literally could not make it easier. Toothpaste and toothbrush is one of those things in life where you're like, I don't want to think about them. I don't want to think, am I getting low? Do I need to go buy more? And they cut out all of that. They just send it right to your door. You are looking pretty and your mouth is clean. If you go to getquip.com/KF right now, you'll get your first refill pack free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/KF. Quip, the good habits company. Getquip.com/KF. What were you gonna say, Bless?
What was I gonna say?
The wasps.
Oh, I hated the wasps. I love how many options that you have available. Yes. Like, this is speaking on what Unwanted Still by Mike is also saying. Like, the fact that you have like the wheel you can pull up to like kind of to assign your abilities, yep, and it feels like you can dynamically kind of change the way you play and approach different situations. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the abilities, maybe not every ability, but I feel like maybe even most of the abilities can affect how you fight.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point you get a dodge roll and I was like, thank God. And you know, that made fights feel more fluid and it felt like it gave me an extra option to, I guess it's literally a dodge roll, but the dodge roll can be used in fights like dodge, but then also in traversal in general, which I feel like is how you're gonna use it
so
for the most.
It feels so good in traversal.
It feels great in traversal. But yeah, like there's that. There's like the, I guess I'm not gonna break down every ability because you wanna learn that for yourself, but
I will say buy everything you can from the monkey. Like, yep. As soon as you possibly can, because mm-hmm, like
get the triple jump right away.
Oh yeah,
I love that
game changer.
I saved up for that thing. I was is worth it.
That was why I was like, I'm not buying a single thing until I get that damn triple jump, man. And it helps you break the game. Like, there were so many moments where I'm like, I'm fucking getting up there. I know the game doesn't want me to yet. I'm doing it.
Like,
man,
logically, I should not be able to do this, but
the game lets you.
Yeah, and it's like, air the dash game
really
does. Jump,
but it really, I feel like, is designed that way, where it's like, this is gonna be a speedrunner's dream, and like, I think that they did that on purpose. Like, they definitely like give you early on areas where you're like, I could get up there. It reminds me of spending hours in front of Peach's castle, mm-hmm, trying to get on top of it. You're not supposed to, but you can, you know? And I feel like they gamified that in a way that like that really works.
Yeah. And I was surprised by how often like that worked. I mean, me seeing like a sideways platform that I should be, or that I'm like, I could probably climb up to that if I get up to it. And if I like stand over here and then jump and then do my dodge roll and then do the triple jump, I might be able to get up there. And like, I feel like 80% of the time I'm usually able to.
And there's a point pretty early on where you get enough life that you can kind of take hits. And you'll bounce back, but that resets your jump. And so it's just like, okay, cool, there's spikes up there. I'm going to bounce into them and just like kind of fucking ping pong.
At a certain point, I felt like it was maybe too much of that. Because at a certain point, I was like, I'm not even going to try anymore. I'm just going to see if I can dodge into the spikes and then go from the spikes into this next thing. Because I guess that's like that's going to be my path forward now. Because I don't want to think too hard about what the solution to the thing is.
There was a switch and some spikes that I could not hit the switch. So I just like jumped into the spikes and just shot it from there.
If this is the same switch I'm thinking about, I kept jumping into those spikes over and over and over again because I thought I was supposed to get into the spikes when you're supposed to like actually arrow the spike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how quickly you got a lot of these traits and the passive abilities. Like, to get sticky hands on the stick walls right off the bat, that was a big complaint I had in the first one, was I was so bad at climbing where I just keep pressing A and it keep going up a little bit. To have sticky hands and to get on that, and that's in like the first 15, 20 minutes of the game.
It's
like, that changes so much, especially when you're coming hot off of number one into that, and to have the different traits, like you said, of like, take less damage, take more damage, what am I going to do here? How am I going to play this? They really opened it up, not only with the combat, but those traits to add on to traversal or how big your character could be.
Yeah, and they add up fast. It's like they give you the right traits early on, and then you can kind of like just keep going, and I feel like you get them at a really nice clip. My thing is, starting this game, you feel so useless. Like, you're I can just jump, I can kind of move, and it's just like, granted, it took 15 minutes till it started getting more interesting, but that 15 minutes, I was like, fuck. I want to be powered up.
Like, yeah, I actually disliked the game, like, when I was first doing the battling, of like, this guy's just destroying me.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like this. And then an hour in, I'm like, all right, here we go. And I would say maybe like 40% through the game, you have like all of your abilities that you need. And it's just like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that there was more to the game that like used all of your abilities. You know what I mean? Like the B-sides of Celeste, like that type of thing.
Do you feel like that'd be too much, though?
Definitely.
Because I feel like at a certain point, I lost track of what I could do.
But I mean, as a
But like as like a hardcore, like the B-sides like, of Celeste is a good
It's like it's not part of the like, core game, but like something there's
something
like,
that's gonna push
just
you.
Just pure fucking challenge. Like let's not worry about the map or whatever. It's just like get through this obstacle course, you know?
That game uses every single button, and it's like points where I was like, did I hit the right button? Am I going to, like especially like, races.
At points I was like, man, I wish I could assign like two more things. Like I wish like they brought back the Xbox black and white buttons. Because like I don't have enough buttons on my controller to do all the things I want to for this one boss fight.
I love it as you say, like there's so much going on. It's like I'm clicking different bumpers. I don't know what they're doing anymore. I'm just in the heat of it.
That's the thing is like I kept either like pressing like the wrong bumper or trigger because there's so many things assigned to all the buttons that you and you need them all. Like you need literally like your whole arsenal of buttons,
which is cool, man.
A big helpful one for me was the Series X or the new Elite controller of having the paddles and not taking my thumb off of this and knowing like I can do all of this underneath and not have to panic because I was pressing so many buttons. I was like, throw up the hook, please, God. And he'd be diving down like, oh, you're killing me.
I feel like you're in control of this game a lot more than the first one. Yes. Like, I had a big issue with the first one where it was hard in a bad way because you're doing a lot of the diagonal jumps and stuff like through the lanterns or whatever, and like you're doing messenger a lot, and it just hit a point where I'm like, this isn't fun because I know what I need to do, doing it is difficult, and that's because of the buttons. It's not because like it's you know presented in a challenging way. This game, it's a breeze, and in a way where it's like you feel like you're in control, you know what you got to do, and you're zip zapping around, and it's super awesome, both in traversal but also in combat. I love how there's so many varied abilities that you can button map. You get to choose what's on X, what's on Y, what's on A and or B, and like that's such a simple thing. But I love it. Like there was times when based on the ability, I'm like, all right, I want my like fireball to be B because that just feels right. Mm. But then later when I get another ability for jumping, I'm like, I definitely want that to be my top one, right? Mm-hmm. And it just like. Mm. I can switch them over time as the game, how I'm playing the game changes. And then add that on top of the left trigger, you hold it, and then there's like a...
The spin wheel.
The wheel of all the different abilities that you can just switch between at any time. So it's like you have access to all of the abilities, and like that's, I think, really, really wise of them and incentivized me to switch things up. And like every area before I would like start exploring... Walk around the first couple rooms and see like what enemies are coming at me, and then be like, okay, how should I be facing off against these guys? And like kind of have loadouts for each of the different areas. And like usually Metroidvanias don't incentivize me to do that.
Yeah. How do you guys feel like this game ranks along other Metroidvania games?
I was thinking about that. Like I personally very much love Hollow Knight. Like it's one of my favorite games of all time at this point. I think this ranks definitely below Hollow Knight for me, but I would put it honestly higher than you would think in Metroidvania like rankings.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of like what are the great Metroidvanias of the last probably couple generations, like of the newer Metroidvanias,
like since Super Metroid or since like, Castlevania.
Like I'd yeah, like after like after like the generations after that. So like 360,
Messenger.
Like yeah, Messenger, Guacamelee, Axiom Verge, like because I don't really flock to Metroidvanias that often, at least like the 2D Metroidvanias, because I don't love the feeling of getting lost that much. And I feel like Metroidvanias are all about like kind of getting lost in the world and exploring and sometimes coming back to things and getting the abilities and doing all that stuff. And I'd say this is for sure like one of the better Metroidvanias, but I don't know, like, and I haven't played Hollow Knight. I don't know where I would put this on like the ranking, or if there's not really even like a shared ranking at this point, is there?
Yeah, as far as, definitely
like,
not.
How we think of the great Metroidvanias.
Like, I think it's like I would put it above like the DS Castlevanias.
Okay, yeah. I also feel that like it is a Metroidvania, but it's also kind of its own thing in a way where like it has such a parkour, it has an energy to it that like at least Metroid and Castlevania don't have. Like I haven't played Hollow Knight, so I don't know if it looks a bit more faster paced.
It's a bit soulsy, but yeah, it can get like once you like this game, once you start getting a lot more abilities, then it becomes more faster paced.
Yeah, and it's like I feel like this game. So Kujuki writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny. He says, what's up, Gamescast? I'm stoked about Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Visuals, gameplay, and music were so great in the first one. What does the sequel do to stand out compared to the original in games like Celeste or Hollow Knight? To me, it really is the map being full of characters that you're talking to and giving you quests and giving you things. It makes it feel more like a... Less like a Metroidvania and more like its own thing.
Right, because Metroid set that tone of this is an isolation thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you were alone on this planet except for all the enemies. And, like, that's it. This is a world with a village and people who are asking you for help and they need things from you.
I don't know if I haven't played the first one, so I can't really compare it to Ori and the Blind Forest. But in terms of like how it separates itself from others within its genre, I think it's just like a really good one. Like I kind of said this at the beginning, but I don't know if this game really did anything for me that felt very new and very fresh. It does have that moment halfway through where it is like, okay, now go whatever direction you want, and that I think is special. But it wasn't a thing where I was like, oh shoot, like they did it, like oh man, like they redefined the genre or anything like that. Like I think it just I think the ways in which it steps up and the ways in which it feels distinct is by just how quality it is. Like the mechanics are great, the world design is great, the visuals are beautiful, all that stuff. That said, like I like this isn't a game where I'm like, you need to rush out and play it right now. It's a game where I'm like, you should play, like if you
have Game Pass,
if you have Game Pass, 100% play this. But also like if Metroidvanias are your thing, then 100% play Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
I feel like even if they aren't your thing, like this is definitely a good entry point to pop in.
Oh yeah, if you want
even
entry
if you
point
don't
also.
Have Game Pass, it's $30, man.
Honestly, I think it's also a good game to play with your kids. Like there's parts of it that they will cry, but
oh. Dude, this game goes there, man. And
I like that.
We'll save that for later. But like that's the thing is like on top of all these elements you're talking about, it has like an engaging story. That's all it needs to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't give you too much. But like there are moments I'm just like, oh, motherfuckers went there, and they're really going there. Damn.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think incredible boss battles, the combat, the passive traits that we've talked about really elevate from number one into number two. And I think this is a great one. Like you said, lived in world. I feel like this is my family now. Like it's so moving right off the bat. And to see that lived in world, like you said, the side quest that you're going to encounter of like, am I really going to help this guy? Well, all of a sudden I walked right back into him. I guess I'm going to help him again because I'm having fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it is a big elevation from number one, right? It's here's the groundwork. Here's what we have. And here's the small touchstones that we're elevating it on. And it's not huge, it's not massive, it's not a distant change in color or anything, but those small things they've added from the boss battles, the combats, I really love that. I think it's a huge elevation for me.
One thing that I didn't, let me think about how to say this, I did love, but I wish I loved more, was the chase scenes.
Yes.
Like
they were a lot harder in the first game.
There was only maybe one or two of them that I had. Like, the one that we watched the video of, I had a lot of issues with that one. Like, that was very challenging.
Yeah.
I like that. That one felt like, by the time you beat it, you're like, I killed it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You felt like a boss.
Yeah. But that's my thing is, I wanted that feeling more. Like, I wanted, because the music of this game is so freaking good. And, obviously the visuals and all that stuff, they work together so well that there's these epic chase scenes where, like, there's beautifully animated giant creatures coming after you. Sometimes it's scary as fuck. Sometimes it's just like, yo, you're my homie. What you doing? Like, there's, like, a lot of emotions that it's pulling out of you. But I just... I feel like I was always at like an eight of heartbeat, and I wanted my heart to be busting out of my
so like body. That's actually one of the things I remember about Ori 1 that I liked a lot was that like when a chase scene happened as you were escaping a dungeon, I remember like trying over and over like I want to get all the stuff from this chase scene and like I want to do this perfectly like an arcade style thing.
Yeah.
And this one was like this is a bit more Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of like it's more designed for you to like immediately react to things, but you're not aiming to do it perfectly. You're aiming to have a cinematic moment.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I think it mostly succeeded, but like you said, that last one was the only one that I really felt in danger.
Yeah. And I get the cinematic moment's a good point where it's like, I want it. Okay. It's Furious 7, right? They're in the fucking car. They go from one skyscraper to the other. I wanted them to go to that second skyscraper. You know what I mean? And I just feel like they never did. It's like every chase scene is just kind of like.
It wasn't like, it didn't feel tame, but it felt like. Like you wanted that extra, like you kind of want the Uncharted 4 clock tower falling down, and like you're playing the game and you're jumping from thing to thing, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah,
like you want that feeling of wow, I can't believe like I did that, and then this new thing happened, and then up the ante. It felt like it went from 0 to 8. It never went to zero from 0 to 10.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Another big one before we move on was the checkpoints as well that we touched on a little bit, but like that's a huge change from number one and number two where it was on you to make your own checkpoint. Essentially, there is like a lot of like, hey, here's the checkpoint for you. Don't worry about it because you essentially can't save by yourself.
Yeah.
Like in number one was.
They're good
that's
checkpoints.
A big one
like,
for me.
They just revert you back to where you were, which is sometimes a little annoying because I'm like, did I get that thing there?
No, dude, that's a huge, huge problem that I hope that somehow they fix because it's very unclear what saves and what doesn't. There's save points.
Yes.
You save there, you're good. But there's also an autosave, but it's unclear when that happens and what that gives you. Because like I would often have to look at my money number.
Yes, you have to be mindful.
And I'd be like, okay, wait, do I keep the ones that I just got or not? And I feel like it was very inconsistent.
And sometimes you did save things even though you reverted back to an older autosave. Mm-hmm. Like I kept my orb, but I didn't keep the like spirit wisp, whatever. So it was very, especially Luma Pools was so weird about that because you did not at any point sit or stand on ground. And standing on ground is what causes the autosave.
Mm-hmm.
So you would lose like 3 to 4 minutes if you died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one beat me up a lot in the pools, is right. Yeah. But I like that. And yeah, I had some moments, like you said, Tim, where it's like, do I have to do that again? Okay, clearly I have to do it again. I don't see the key fragment. And then one moment's like, oh, I did it, but now I'm back at the same spot and I have it now. But I love the save points. I love the checkpoints. Such a huge elevation, especially for me, of like the energy is what got you that save point in number one, right? So it's like you'd save, you'd run out of energy, but you complete that small mission. You're like, yes, but I couldn't save and now I'm back to it. That sucks, you know? This one at least was more forgiving with the checkpoints, which is a huge elevation.
Forgiving as well with just the amount of energy and health you have.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
love how powered I was by the end of this game without really going too much off the beaten path, where I was just like, oh my god, like I can just fuck people up.
Yeah, yeah. I got to the point where I got to the point where it was like, you can't upgrade anymore. And I was like, wait, what? I'm finding more fragments, and they're like, no, you're done. And I was like, all right, I guess.
I had that shard that took off like a third of your health or a third of damage for you. And I was like, okay, this is, I'm never taking this off because there's no point.
Yeah.
This helps me even platform too, because like, when I took it off for a brief bit because I wanted something else in, I died to like every spike platform section. And after that, I was like, okay, yeah, this is necessary for me.
Mm. Yeah. The final boss, I want to talk about him for a second without spoilers, just as a character, I really enjoyed. I feel like
not the
boss fight, not whatever, just him, like, the way that he comes throughout the game. I was just like, I'm scared of you, and like I don't like you, and fuck you.
I think they did a great job fleshing out their story, right? Like I midway through the story, like when you start kind of seeing them more and more, every time they showed up, I was like, oh shoot, like you know this is about to be a situation. And then like there's a moment that really like kind of amps things up, and I'm like, oh shoot, all right, this is a character to really be scared of.
Yeah.
And so by the time the final moments of the game popped up, I feel like the whole story of the game, I'm not even going to talk about the boss specifically, but the whole story of the game, I feel like, has a satisfying resolution by the time it finishes. And, like, great moments. I wish it kind of had more moments, but with what they had there, with the ways in which they kind of used the sparse, important cutscenes in the game, I think that stuff punctuated well. That stuff really felt resonant with the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. I want to move into some little spoiler conversation real quick. So if you guys care about that, again, not much you can spoil here, but there's definitely some moments that we're going to be talking about. You might want to leave. Come back later. That's your chance. Adios to you spoiler-scared people. And now welcome to you people that aren't scared.
Dude, Keanu Reeves, man, when he popped up.
That shit was crazy, man. Dude, when your homie dies,
I was like,
oh no, you motherfuckers did that.
I was kind of expecting it because they started already one with that tragedy of like a mother dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I knew they were wanting to hit that same beat somewhere.
I just didn't expect it to be that early and for a character that's on the box. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this.
And a character that's like a baby.
Yeah.
A
little baby. For real. Yeah. Like, and it's like, it's also like, I feel we just didn't get that much gameplay with her. Yeah. Where it's like,
when you feel that tandem gameplay, you're like, this is awesome. Like, we going to do this all cool. game? Yeah. And then, like,
yeah.
Cool.
Dude,
like,
I was
oh,
hoping,
no.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping oh, that no. it'd be like, oh, is this going to be like a switch back and forth throughout the game kind of situation? Because I could dig that.
See,
I don't
but my thing is,
this.
I think they did a good job with like teasing us with it, but then giving us the feathers. So we had the abilities, but we didn't need to deal with like that whole being a dumb baby.
Yeah.
But like, dying, I was like, oh, whoa, holy crap, they're fucking doing it. And like, I had a feeling that she was going to come back.
Yeah, and the fact that she came back at the end, right? I didn't misread that.
Yeah.
But then, like, do you pretty much give your life for the owl?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you give it for the owl specifically. It's just like things are decaying.
You give it for
the only way to fix it is
to
do that.
It's a soul for a soul.
Yeah. Totally. But dude, like,
I can get behind. Like, usually I hate that. Usually I hate when characters come back.
Absolutely. And I feel like that character didn't necessarily need to come back in this game. Like, I would have been fine. Actually, I probably would have preferred if it didn't come back. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like, I feel like it would have meant more.
Mm-hmm.
But Ori, like, the final moments, like, when you're facing that boss, which, like, first off, that final boss fight was fucking insane,
yeah,
and the last phase was total bullshit. Yes. Where it's like,
oh, we just had to fly in the air?
So it wasn't fun, and it was so unclear.
Bullshit.
I guarantee not a single person beats that on their first try.
I did not.
There's no way. It's because it's just like, so essentially you're fighting this, the shriek, the giant, like.
It's a giant owl?
The
or is it the wolf?
Owl was the first game. This one
yeah.
was.
Yeah, I no mean, idea. It looks like an owl, but it's not an owl. Yeah, it's a weird bird thing.
Was that just a species, or was it like crippled or like disfigured?
There was that cutscene that implied it was crippled.
Okay.
Oh, is that what you took?
I don't know.
Yeah. I can tell that was a species, or it was just like, who knows?
I don't know.
I was like, this is a scary bird thing. And
it's a scary fucking bird thing.
I should be afraid of this
thing. So you're fighting the bird. Pretty fun. The fight's great. I think it did a good job of having phases with checkpoints that I was like, all right, that's acceptable, and like, I'm cool with this. Yeah. But then the final phase, the ground falls out from underneath you, and you're just flying in the air, and the entire time there's just a shit ton of projectiles, and you need to... Be
yeah.
like
bash them,
and like
bash
yeah,
them. Yep.
And when, like
them.
When we say flying, right? Like you're not literally fly. Well, you are using the bash to stay elevated in the air, and so it's like
so
doing that over and over and
you
over.
You die. Yeah. So it's just like you just like playing. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't fun.
And then you
man.
Still have to apply damage to yeah, to the boss. It's ridiculous.
It's weird and it's very unclear what's going on. But
that said, the way the resolution goes, where after you beat the boss, and then like its name is Shriek.
Yeah.
Shriek. Yeah.
Where Shriek goes and. Lays in the arms of like the is dead parents?
Dead parents, yeah.
I would guess so, yeah.
That's
it's
dark.
Like, you know, like
it's
the,
really
the,
dark.
There's those two
yeah.
other
uh-huh.
out things.
Yeah,
like, yeah. And the, yeah, he like curls up there.
And I
and
think dies there.
Dies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, holy shit. But even before the boss fight, when there's the, you have the Will of the Wisps or whatever the fuck it was, the gold ball.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
The
forest comes back alive, and there's the tree that looks like a deer, and it's like talking to Ori. It's just like, yo, I can't do this anymore. I need you to be the new freaking like god,
yeah,
essentially.
Like a life force.
And Ori's about to take this thing, and they're like, you're giving up your life. Like, you will no longer be Ori. You are going to be God. And it's like, this is fucking cool as hell.
yeah.
And then they're about to give it, and then Shriek comes in and grabs it. And it's just like, oh.
Comes in, grabs it, and then
fuck.
Like crushes it a little bit.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. And then you have the boss fight.
I actually didn't really understand what, like, why does Shriek want to stop you? And
it's mean.
It, yeah, that's kind of, the, like, I thought had that thought too. I was like,
their whole story just seems to be like the owl from Ori 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't finish that game, but like, it just seems to be. Except that Owl got a redemption and Shriek did not.
And yes. that confused me because I felt like Shriek was built up as a character that kind of needed a redemption given that like Shriek's like this because y'all like,
bullied him.
Yeah,
man.
Bullied him and made him feel like an outcast and like, you know, kind of created Shriek. And so for Shriek's story to end with him dying in the arms of his dead parents, I'm like, bro, that's dark.
That's fucking
like that's messed
it's
up.
It's dark. But then Ori kind of like takes the thing and becomes this god or whatever and like becomes a seed and a new tree is born or whatever. And so then the whole family comes. The owl comes back and the little owl. And like they're all just like hanging out by Ori's tree. Mm-hmm. And like Ori's like the deep booming voice that's been talking. I'm
yeah.
like, this
He's
is hype
narration.
As fuck,
yes.
man.
I thought it was Kolok for a really long time. By the way, Kolok, it's funny to me they did not revive him with the forest power at the end.
Yeah.
Two, why did he even come to Lumipools? He didn't help at all.
Oh, he didn't
yeah.
do shit.
No,
yeah.
no, that was weird. But, dude, I really enjoyed the final moments of this game. Like, the way that the story all came together, it's like,
yeah.
it just hit, man. Like, they just did it really well. And I loved the final shot where it's like the tree coming up and then the little Ori colored. Feathers popping off. It's like, we're getting yep. a sequel, baby. Let's go. I loved that shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved a lot of the moments. I think I think of the water sawmill and that chase scene,
oh,
like you
yeah,
talked about,
about,
and seeing that first moment of like that awesome encounter with that enemy, and then having the chase scene, that thing following you, and now it's flying off in the distance as you get out, and the water finally goes through. That was a cool moment for me. I really enjoyed that one. That's early in the game as well.
So yeah. the water mill was weird because it's mechanically and like aesthetically exactly the same as the tree from Ori 1, like the first dungeon.
That's true.
And, like, even when you fall, like, there's a, almost every big scene in this game begins with Ori wakes up on a little thing by himself. But, like, this was exactly the same scene. So, like, I had heard Thomas Mayer say before, like, this game is separated into acts. So there's a part of me going, like, I wonder if there's, like, a fucked up plot twist going on here where, like, maybe we're just supposed to think it's similar and it turned out just be similar. That's it. But... I so confusing of why that was exactly the same in so many ways.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's right. Another moment I loved from the end is that they had a Metal Gear Solid 4 microwave scene of Ori just slowly going, getting flashbacks of all his friends and stuff. I'm like, damn, y'all didn't need to do this.
They really pushed like yeah. like the emotional like they really tried to make that a thing.
I liked it,
which like it worked
when they showed the Ori tree at the end, like after the credit sequence or after the sequence with like the everyone hanging out around the tree. Like you could see in the bark was the faces of like his mom, like
yeah.
and like the
it's
owl
cool
thing.
Man. Just yeah. little yeah. things. Like that's the thing that we keep talking about Pixar and stuff. It's like that, what a compliment, you know. Yeah. And I feel like they did nail it. And yes, they were trying, and yes, it was obvious they were trying to.
Yeah,
pull our
but they didn't. They did not succeed. Like exactly. they nailed a lot of them. A lot of the emotional moments in the game, and I do wish, I do kind of wanted there to be, or I did kind of wanted there to be more story because I don't know. I and maybe this is me not playing the first game, and so maybe I missed out on like a lot of the setup and all this stuff. But I was like, man, I could use like a lot more, like character and heart. And I know like they're also speaking a different language, which yeah. then kind of you know takes.
Which I wish they let me skip dialogue a little bit because like okay, I've read this, but now you have to say the entire.
Yeah, now you have to finish
thing.
Saying yeah. the thing. Were they speaking in a real language, or was that like
yeah,
a
I think it's
made up Ori yeah. Ori language?
The spiders talk in spider sounds.
Yes,
and I didn't like that at all.
Also, yeah. the background to that level,
fuck
it, no,
dude. Seriously, man,
like little moths, like
I said
oh,
earlier,
yeah, like yeah.
it
wings?
Was the scariest. Like Barrett, you go down underground. All right, you're in the dirt.
Yeah,
there's darkness that surrounds you, and if the darkness consumes you, you die, instant death.
I don't like that.
So it's just like you need to constantly like keep things lit. It's right. not as annoying as it sounds, okay. but you're in this like it's like Honey I Shrunk the Kids essentially. Like you're down in this damn. In the ground, in the dirt, there's spider webs everywhere.
I don't like
there's
that.
Dead like skeletons everywhere.
Yeah.
But then there's a shit ton of like mosquitoes. You know when you see a mosquito in a spider web and it's like
fucking
twitching
like
and shit.
Around, yeah.
That's the entire background of this.
Yeah, that's
it's
like the whole
twitchy ass dead thing.
I hate
things.
That.
It's horrible, man.
It's like what was the game before Inside?
Limbo.
Limbo.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
It's that to like the nth degree, man.
Yeah. I forgot to ask guys before the spoiler section about the building stuff. So like, what was the point? You're just like building houses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you like some upgrades in the town. That's it.
Is that that it?
That's pretty much it.
Well,
and also, I think you need it for the delivery quest. Like, you need to do some of those for that.
I gotcha. For some reason, I thought it was gonna be like a more important.
Well,
like,
I mean, delivery
story-wise,
quest, it's like, important because their home was ruined, and you're giving them new homes.
There's one where, like,
once again,
it has no resolution.
I loved it.
Like, there's one where Amogi was like, "Hey, can you go find my family in like this area?"
Yep.
So I do, and they're petrified, and I go back and tell him, and he's like, "Oh, I got to go back there." That's it. That's the last part of that story.
Yeah.
I'm like, "What the fuck happened? Like, did he go back there? Is
sad
he dead
shit.
Too?" Like.
Who knows, man?
I loved all the side quests, right? And then in the Lumen Pools, like you said, all of a sudden I walk up on a Moki that's fishing, and he's like, whoa, calm down. I'm like splashing in the water for fun.
It's great.
The end of that delivery quest is worth doing, though, if you want to, like, 100% that game. Because it literally just shows every secret on the map.
Oh.
That's dope. It's real dope.
If it was on PlayStation, I'd do it because I could get the platinum.
I looked at the achievements, and, like, most of them are doable, but, like, the two I think I'll have problems with are play the game on hard, and beat the game in under 4 hours.
Oh, wait. Beat the game in under 4 hours?
Yes.
Is there a new game plus?
I don't know. I need to check that. If so, then yes. Play
four.
How is that even possible?
Metroidvanias, man. People speed
up. Yeah, you can.
I guess when
things.
You already know what the solution to everything is, that then speeds up dynamically. But still.
Still, man.
4 hours.
Still. Any closing thoughts on Ori and the Will of the Wisps?
I really fucking enjoyed this game. I don't know that I'm going to be like singing its praise. Like... Again, the Holland example that I'm going to go back and say, like, this is one of my top 10 games ever. I'm going to proselytize it to everyone I see, but it's a solid 8.5 out of whatever, out of 10 game that I think is very worth anyone who's, like, iffy about Metroidvanias or really wants a pretty game will enjoy this game. It's just not quite as... If Ori 1 didn't exist, this game would be fucking baller.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's my favorite game of the year so far. Not that that's saying much,
but give it another month.
Exactly. I don't think this is going to end up being in my top five at the end of the year, but I think it will top 10, and that's a pretty high compliment for the year that we have ahead of us. Hopefully, things don't get delayed even more.
Yeah, I think this game is great.
You looked at Blessing when you said that.
I don't know if I don't know if it'll be my top 10 if I'm being honest, but I think the game is awesome. If you have Xbox Game Pass, I think it's definitely worth playing. And like for $30, like the game is worth that. Like
is
the game
it 30
is
bucks?
It is a I think 30. You said 30?
Okay.
Yeah, the game is a quality game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is a full-fledged, like, you know, 13-hour long, like they put in work in this game. The game is probably worth $60, honestly.
This game deserves support, man. Like I feel like it really tried
like they,
to do something
they, I,
different.
They did a great job. And like I loved a lot of the elements in this game. I think the thing that I kind of came out of this game thinking is that maybe I don't love Metroidvanias as much, and maybe I just don't get excited over like 2D Metroidvanias specifically. Maybe I'm getting tired of them at this point. But even so, like even still, I still really enjoyed my experience with this game, and I'd recommend this game to anybody who thinks this game looks cool or thinks it's up their alley or likes Metroidvanias or like 2D game. Like this is a great, fantastic game.
Yeah. On this week's Game Pass or Play, your boy Snowbike Mike says this is a must-play over on the Xbox side. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And especially coming from someone who, like Blessing just said, right, I'm not into Metroidvanias at all. I didn't really like big platforming games. And over the past couple of years, I've played some different ones. This is my favorite one by far so far. I mean, it's beautiful. It's fun. It's got a cool story that really hit me in the heart. And I think all of the gameplay mechanics that they add in, there's no excuse for you not to smash that install button on your Xbox Game Pass and go out there and play it, for sure.
God damn, I love you. I love you so much.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Games cast. Stay tuned for the post show if you are a patreon.com/kindafunnygames supporter. Mike, thank you very much for joining us today. Where can people find you?
Well, first off, thank you, Gamescast Squad, to bring me down here. But, of course, you can find me at Snowbike Mike on all your favorite social medias. And, of course, twitch.tv/SnowbikeMike. 5 nights a week, I'm bringing you that high-energy game. Play. See you there.
Bobby.
You know it. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Until next week. I love you.